Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Mayan. Welcome to the What You Next podcast.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am the author of over 100 books. Which is crazy. What a big round number. And I remember all of them, but I grew up in New Jersey. And since then I have lived all over the place, including England, California. And now I live in beautiful Southern Oregon, where I am never too far from the forests and some mountains. And it's absolutely beautiful and filled with green things, which makes me very happy.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. And you have a PhD. So oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so that's why I was in England. I got a master's and PhD in English literature.
That's amazing. And then you're a writer. So let's talk about what inspired you to become a writer.
Well, it's funny because I don't remember a time when I wasn't writing. Mm-hmm. So I think I remember making, which I'm sure he was so pleased about, my brother for Christmas one year, I wrote him books. My older brother, I don't think he probably threw them away immediately. But I remember doing that. Those are my first books. They were about a horse named Casey. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I just was always writing. I loved Harriet the Spy when I was growing up. So I had a lot of black and white notebooks that I would write all my thoughts in. But unfortunately, there was no sleuthing for me to do. I was just writing in the notebooks, but that's really what I did. I did it when I was supposed to be paying attention in class. And, you know, really it's a good thing that it all worked out, because apparently I have no other skills but writing endlessly. So here we are.
Here we go. And so you've written about 100 books. Do you remember getting your first book published? What was that journey?
That was crazy. So I was in graduate school in England, and I started writing a book, and a friend of mine had decided that she was going to publish a book, which she has. Her name's Kimberly McCrae, and she writes amazing thrillers, which
I read them. Read.
But anyway, yeah, she's amazing. So she's one of my best friends from college. She decided she was going to get a book published. So she set off on this journey to do it, which was the first time it had occurred to me that you could actually decide to get published. Mm-hmm. That it wasn't, I don't know what I thought it was, that you were sort of, I don't know, like it was, you would be ascend or something, or someone had a fairy godmother. I don't know what I thought, but I didn't realize that it was something you could actually choose to do. So I thought, well, probably the first step in that journey would be, finishing something, because I was really good at writing the beginnings of things, but I never really carried through and wrote the whole thing. So I finally sat down, which was much better than working on my PhD. I finally sat down and wrote this whole big thing, and I sent it to the only agent I knew, which was someone that I had also gone to college with, expecting that she would reject me as she had done my friend, and then but give like feedback. And she did, mm-hmm. but she said if I revised it, she would look at it again. And I thought, well, wow, my glorious words, why would I revise that? But my friend was like, yeah, she didn't say that to me. So okay. And so then I revised it. And of course, everything that she suggested that I do to revise it made it a much better book. And it turned into my first book, English as a Second Language, which came out in, 2004.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh my God. And it had an illustrated cover. So you got to see the trend. Like now we have illustrated covers.
So I was part of the first wave. We didn't call them rom-coms then. We called them chick lit.
Yeah.
So I had about 6 books out, I think, that could be considered chick lit books.
Oh my gosh. That's
all amazing. Illustrated covers.
Yeah. I miss those days. So let's talk about your writing process, because you write a lot. Do you follow an outline? Do you see where the story leads to? What's your process looks like?
So I dictate my books. That's one of the reasons why I can write as fast as I do. Mm-hmm. So I sort of jump right in. And I, in fact, I did that when I was writing, when I would just write them all as well, type them all, I mean, but so I'll sort of jump in. And then I have, the great thing about dictating is that when I sit back down with whatever I blathered out mm-hmm. while dictating, it's not a blank page. So I can sort of fix it up and see where I am. So I sort of like to jump in and flail around for the first 3 chapters, maybe a little more than that, depending, at which point I usually realize that it's not doing quite what I want it to do and take a look and figure out where to go. I don't plot in advance, though I kind of go half and half. So I like to jump in and just see who the characters are and see where they lead me, because everything I do is character led. And then when I'm in the middle of it, I kind of like to stop and be like, okay, well, what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there, and give myself a roadmap. I wouldn't call it an outline of any kind. I sort of think, okay, well, I know these things have to happen, so I'll write them down and then sort of work towards them. And usually by the time I'm at the end of that list, it's changed, or I'm doing something else. And I sometimes do that more than once during a book, but often it's kind of like the last, sort of towards the end, I'll do that when I know what has to happen towards the end to finish it up. If it sounds confusing, it is, because it changes with every book.
Oh my gosh, that's fascinating. So do you write one book at a time, or do you write multiple books?
One book at a time.
Okay. All right.
Always. I've tried to do like, oh, I'm going to spend the morning on this and the afternoon on that, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I have been involved in some projects where I end up maybe having to do proposals or things on weekends. And I don't like doing it. I can, but it's definitely not my preference. I prefer to just do one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. Understandable. So how do you develop your characters? Does it come to you? Do you brainstorm? What's the process like? Because characters make the whole story.
Yes. Well, sometimes they just come, you know, so sometimes they just appear before you and they're fully formed. And then it's a question of sort of getting into their heads. Other times, they frustratingly do absolutely nothing that you want them to do. And you had this great idea that it was going to be this, that, or the other thing, and it's not. So I think you never quite know what you're going to get with a character, in my opinion. Sometimes I spend lots of time, you know, pinning photos on Pinterest and trying to get an image of them in my head. And I don't do character sheets or anything like that. I just kind of like think about them. I like to be kind of dramatic and listen to really emotive music and imagine them and then see where I end up. But often I find at the end of the day, the best thing to do, and the reason why I just sort of jump into my books, is they don't quite know what they're going to do until they're on the page. So I can think all I want and feel all I want about who they're going to be, but until I actually get on the page with them, I don't really know how it's going to go.
Yeah, so it's a process of engaging with the character and seeing, like, choose your own adventure. Like, where do you want to go?
I love characterization, and I love to be led through books by characters. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm kind of with them. You know, particularly when it's action and adventure-y, I have no idea where I'm going with it most of the time. So when they're surprised, so am I. So it's kind of, and then when I put characters in situations that surprise them, things are revealed, of course. So then I get to see what those are and go from there. It's really a lot of fun for me. I like to not know where I'm going mostly, because then it's really fun.
That sounds like fun. So let's talk about, you write romantic suspense. So there's a juggle between romance and suspense, and like different twists and turns. As we know, you're let the characters lead you. How do you balance both to make sure?
Well, it's not like I just kind of feel it out. So far that's worked. I don't really have a process or a plan. I think that I try to feel my way through it in terms of, is there rising tension? It's hard though, because, you know, I sort of know some of the things that are going to happen, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I will do things like, when I don't know what's happening, blow something up. That's always fun. But like, if I sort of know where I'm going, it's hard to tell if you're actually creating tension on the page, because it's not tense to me because I'm writing it. So that's harder to do. I think that I have found with romantic suspense that the hardest part is hoping that you're creating tension. But also, I haven't written a lot of romantic suspense. I've written a ton of, let's say, other books with more romantic tension between the characters, or suspense about will they, won't they, in terms of like, are they going to kiss? Mm-hmm. And like, ultimately, I'm not sure it's that different. It's just like what you're focusing on. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, so mostly I wing it. So you'll have to tell me if it works.
It did work. Yeah, it worked for special ops seduction. So
there we go.
Speaking of that, what was the source? Like, what's the source of inspiration? Like, what was the point? You know, what inspired you to write special ops for special ops seduction and also the Alaska 4 series? So what's the driving?
The Alaska 4 series. I had pitched a different series to my agent, and we were sort of thinking about, okay, well, let's go out with that. And I like had a cold, and I was sitting on the couch angrily watching this reality show that I think had only one season, and I've never seen or heard about it ever again. It was called The Selection, and it was about a group of special ops guys who were running this reality show that was mostly, it was like CrossFitters would come do it to see if they could get through special force like boot camp training. Mm-hmm. And the answer is mostly no, they could not. And so watching how these men handled themselves, and it was just, I was really taken by them. Mm-hmm. And you know, my husband was in the army. So it was kind of interesting to, you know, he had a lot of reflections on, well, yeah, they're this kind of guy or that kind of guy, that's what you do. And it was really interesting. So I found myself thinking about those men a lot and came up with the idea for a series based on not a reality show, but based on this kind of like band of brothers. I was thinking of it as the A-team, but they weren't dishonorably discharged. So they were kind of like the A-team. They weren't available to everyone. You had to try to find them somewhere. And I originally had set it in like Tennessee or something, I think, somewhere by the Smoky Mountains. Is that Tennessee? I can't remember.
Yeah.
So by the Smoky Mountains. And the editor who was interested in it, they wanted to talk to me. So I wanted to jump on the phone and said, would you consider changing it to Alaska? And of course I said, yes, of course. But then she said, well, let's get on the phone and talk and see. And so I thought, oh, I should do some research. So as I researched it, it was like, this is the best idea that anyone's ever had. Alaska is so much better for these guys. So remote, so beautiful. You know, the remoteness of the landscape itself is kind of like how remote they are in their hearts anyway, because they feel that they can't really join, you know, back with civilians. They have to sort of take themselves off. I couldn't have picked anything better. It was so great. And so having it said there wasn't my idea initially, but became so perfect. I can't imagine the series set anywhere else. And then I'm trying to remember. I think I pitched the first three books. No, I think it was three. And then as I was thinking about the second three books, one of the suggestions was, what if there's a female Alaska Force person? And so that's how, you know, Bethan came about. And she was great. And there's one picture I found of a female sort of special ops attaché or something. They're not really clear on who she is in the picture I saw, but it was just so her that I had her in my head almost from the beginning. So many books in advance of when I wrote her, I knew that who she was, what she looked like, and just had an idea of her because this one picture that I just randomly found online while I was researching stuff.
That's fascinating. I love this. I love like the tension of the book, like, you know. So what is your favorite trope to write?
I like, to be honest with you, there are very few tropes that I don't like. One of the things, I also write category romance, Harlequin presents as Caitlin Cruz, and so I get the opportunity to play in this very sort of high stakes fairy tale worlds. I get to play with all these different tropes and I just find them delightful. I started reading romance novels at the age of 12, and quickly found myself crawling around on the floors of used bookstores in the towns where I grew up, doing exchanges for all these category romance books. The authors of those I am still reading today. If they're still publishing, I'm still reading them. Now, many of them are in hardcover now, but doesn't matter. And I just fell in love with all these different kinds of stories. I didn't even know the word trope for years, but there's, you know, even the things that don't appeal to me personally, I usually find that if I write them and try to figure out, like, what is the appeal of this? Like, I didn't really get the virgin thing, for example. I was like, well, didn't appeal to me personally, but then my friend challenged me to write them and I did. And now I think, well, it's really fun. You get to play with all these you know, feelings that people have. Like, why is innocence prized? I mean, we could talk about it in a social context, but in terms of what you're doing in the pages of a romance novel, you know, why the newness, like discovering something amazing with someone new, it's really powerful. And I think even if I don't like a trope, especially if I don't like a trope, if I dig my way into it and try to find out what is powerful about it, I end up kind of loving it, I have to say. All that said, Enemies to Lovers is my favorite.
I figure, well, Enemies to Lovers is a favorite trope for a lot of people. And I think it's the tension, the banter, the, yeah, like putting them together and hating each other. And just like
sometimes. Because we all know that if they hate each other on the pages of a romance novel, they actually really love each other. So that
helps. So it's just like, it's just perfection. So I love this. So what are some of your upcoming projects? What can we expect from you in 2021?
So I have Special Ops Seduction coming out in January.
Yep.
That's the last book in the Alaska Force series. I do have other books set in Alaska, but they will not be romantic suspense. They'll be just straight up contemporary romance. Those will start coming out, I can't remember, maybe 2022.
Okay.
In the meantime, I have a ton of books coming out under my other name. I'm always writing Harlequin Presents. I also write Harlequin Dare, which is their erotic line. Mm-hmm. That line is ending, but I have a couple more books coming out with that. And I also started writing historicals. So my first historical is coming out, I think, in April, from Harlequin Historical. And I have a bunch of cowboy books that I write. My fifth or fourth, I can't remember. Another book is coming out in my cowboy series on December 1st as Caitlin Cruz. It's coming out as, I believe it is Secret Nights with a Cowboy. So that's coming out, well, that is soon. It's coming out soon. And then I think I have another one later in the year. So just a ton of books. The best thing to do if you are interested in my like million of books coming out is to go to my website where I always have the latest ones. Because frankly, I have to go look there because I forget myself.
So what kind of historical did you write?
Well, it's funny because they wanted me to write Vikings. And I thought, well, that sounds fantastic. I love it. I love Vikings. And, you know, way, way back when I was in college, my junior year, I did an independent study with my favorite professor of all time, who was an Anglo-Saxon scholar. And I did Anglo-Saxon elegies, which was, this is a theme in my life, crawling around on the floor of random libraries and bookstores looking for these old books. And so I ended up reading all these Anglo-Saxon elegies and just loved them so much. And then all these years later, you know, they wanted to know if I would write a Viking book. And I thought, well, that sounds amazing. So I got to dive back in to all this research that I haven't looked at. And I think set the Viking book at maybe the worst time because it wasn't quite, you know, under the reign of King Alfred, and it wasn't like the Norman invasion yet either, but Norman conquest, but I set it in the year 918. Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun. I can't even tell you, it was so great to be able to dig into history and make stuff come alive. And then of course, if I couldn't find the right research, make it up. It was great.
I love this.
So much fun. So it's Vikings, and she's like an Anglo-Saxon princess. I'm honestly so excited for it to come out. I had such a good time.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love when authors have a good time writing the book because it shows in the book when you're as a reader. So I love this. So now let's go to our random book recommendations. It's an opportunity to share with our audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
Romance, obviously. Romance is my favorite genre by far. I'm lucky enough that I get to read my friends' books a lot. Mm-hmm. So I have a bunch of close friends and I get to sometimes read their stuff before it's published, which is awesome. So I read a lot of Macy Gates and I read a lot of Nicole Helm. I read a lot of Jane Porter. I read Jackie Ashenden. I love Maya Blake, who also writes Zara Cox. I would say my favorite couple of books, I would recommend anything any of those people write. Literally any book is great. But over this past year, I would say that my two favorites, not written by my friends, were, that Millavane book.
The Heart of Blood and Ashes, I think.
I could not, it's about 5,000 pages long and I could not put it down. It was amazing. Just everything I didn't know I wanted or needed in a book. So great. I know there's a second one out and it's in my TBR pile. I've not read it yet. And Evie Dunmore's first historical. I got to read, it was so great. It was one of those books where I was just so delighted reading it. Did I read it this year? Maybe it was the second one or this year. Anyway, love those books. I'm trying to think who else, but those are my top level recommendations for sure.
I love this. Tell us where you can find me online.
My website, megancrane.com. I spend most of my social media time on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm sometimes in other places, but mostly there.
Awesome. Thank you, Megan, for being in the show.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTOREAD10 to save. Visit whatyourextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What's Your Next Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourextblog.com/sponsorships. to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.